Proverbs chapter 8. Go ahead and grab your Bible or turn your Bible on and find your place. It's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. And hey, for just a second, I know some of the worship team's making their way out. They did a great job leading us this morning. Love how you guys put that last song together. So church, let them know that they did a great job. Great time together. Luke, tremendous. Thank you. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to wrap up this series this morning that we've been in for the last few weeks together. So go ahead and find your place there in 8, verse 32. And I want to begin a little bit with somewhat of an illustration this morning. Maybe you can relate to kind of a personal testimony a little bit. But there was a time in my life that if you had asked me, you said, Mike, do you believe the Bible? You know, I raised in a Christian home, kind of grown up here in the Bible Belt. Of course, I would give the church answer. Of course, I believe the Bible. But if you had dug down a little bit below the surface, you would have found out that even though I believed the Bible, I really wasn't convinced. I wasn't totally sure that the Bible had any help for the practical areas of everyday life. If you'd asked me, I would have thought, yeah, this man, the Bible, it deals with some of these really lofty, you know, high spiritual stuff, but kind of the day-to-day where we're living our lives, I'm not so sure that the Bible really has anything to help us in our day-to-day life. That's kind of where I was for a while. Until I went to college. Some things happened in my life in college that were really foundational for me. God brought some different people into my life, and one of this couple that God brought in my life, they challenged me first to do something. They said, well, we want to challenge you to do something radical. Why don't you start reading the Bible? Then you'll find out that there's a whole lot in there. That always helps, right? Reading the Bible. And then something else happened in my life. There was an episode when I was in college that I went through really a kind of a season of some confusion and a little bit of uncertainty. And the uncertainty came because I had basically been duped by somebody. I went through a season where I'd really put a lot of confidence in this individual and kind of stuck my neck out for this individual, if you will, and the whole time this individual had really been a scam. And boy, I just felt foolish and naive and realized I had acted foolishly, and man, I realized I needed some wisdom. So this same couple kind of took me aside and they began to introduce me, and they said, you've been reading the Bible, that's great, but we want to kind of guide you to a particular book of the Bible. And I said, in this season of confusion for you and where you need wisdom, we want to introduce kind of a reading plan to the book of Proverbs. Now, I'd heard about Proverbs before, but I had never really dove into the book of Proverbs at all. And they said, you know, it has 31 chapters. There's kind of a chapter for the day of the month, and you can dig into this book, and there's incredibly practical wisdom for your life. So it was in that season that God really revolutionized my understanding of His Word, and specifically the book of Proverbs. I mean, it was life-changing for me. That was over 20 years ago, and since then, not every month, but on a regular basis, the book of Proverbs has been a regular part of my personal journey with the Lord Jesus. And we've all found out over the last few weeks, man, the book of Proverbs is painfully practical in our life, isn't it? And the book of Proverbs doesn't just deal up here with the ethereal, man. It deals with the practicalities where you're living your life. And man, my prayer and my hope for all of you, especially if you call this your church home, if you say I'm a follower of Christ, that you now are convinced that this really is the living Word of God. It's God speaking. And man, He speaks with great authority and care and wisdom and love into every area of our life. Every area. Our marriage. Our hopeful marriages, our singleness, our future, our past, our decisions, our finances, our work, our words. Every area of life, God has great truth to speak in. And I hope, I pray and I trust that that's been your experience for the last 8 or 9 weeks as we've been in life groups and we've journaled and we've opened the book of Proverbs. And even though we're coming to the end of a series, I really hope God has stirred your heart for Himself, for His Word, and the book of Proverbs is an ongoing pursuit and a part of your journey of following Jesus from now on. So what we're going to do this morning to kind of wrap up this series is I'm going to walk you through a few verses here in chapter 8, and wisdom is going to speak, if you will. wisdom, which is what we've been pursuing in the book of Proverbs, it's all about wisdom, skillful living, right? We've given a definition to it. Skillful living in light of who God is and what God says. Who God is affects everything in our life. What God says affects everything in our life. That's wisdom. So we've been walking through that path, and this morning I'm going to walk you through a few verses, and Proverbs is going to be wisdom is going to be personified, and wisdom is going to speak to you. And hopefully wisdom is going to give you a few final closing truths to bring this series to a close and propel us that this journey of pursuing wisdom doesn't end today, it continues the rest of your life. So Proverbs chapter 8, I want to begin in verse 32. I want to read a few verses. You can follow along. Your Bibles are on the screen. This is wisdom speaking to you and me in the pages of Scripture. Verse 32 says this, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me." Now I want to stop right there and just remind you, Proverbs was written by Solomon, right? It was primarily written initially to his son. So when you've been journeying through Proverbs, I hope you haven't read it with just this dull, dry instruction, but you understand this is like the passion of a dad pulling his children in real close and saying, listen, there's going to be two paths laid out in front of you. You can go this path, but here's what's going to happen. You can follow this path, and here's what's at the end of this path. I want you to listen. So with the passion of a dad speaking to his sons, wisdom speaks and says, listen to me, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Powerful word, blessed. We're going to look at that in just a minute, what that idea of the word blessed means. Verse 33 says, heed instruction, or pay attention to instruction, or focus on what God is saying, or take seriously that God has spoken. Whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever difficulty you're in, whatever opportunity you see yourself, whatever next step you're getting ready to take, God has spoken and has something to say in that particular area of your life. Heed instruction and be wise. It's interesting to note there, as we've studied through Proverbs, just knowing wisdom is not what he says. He says, heed instruction, know what God says, and then what? Live it out by the power of the Spirit of God. So heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life. Listen to that. He who finds me, this wisdom personified, this dad speaking, he who finds me finds a place of life and obtains favor from the Lord. Verse 36, but he who sins against me or neglects me or ignores me, by the way, it's possible to know wisdom and ignore it. Did you know that? The last 8 weeks to pour into a book like Proverbs and to devote that much time to Proverbs as we've done together is a good thing, but it's also a scary thing because you know what God says. You can't ignore wisdom. You can neglect wisdom. He says, verse 36, but he who sins against me injures himself, and those who hate me love death. So what I want to do this morning briefly, and encourage you to take notes, maybe write some of these things down. I'm going to give you four truths from this passage to wrap up this series, give you a little final application, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together this morning as a church family. So truth number one, based on Proverbs 8 here, is this. Wisdom is essential to experience life as God intends it. The wisdom that we've been studying and the wisdom that we've been looking at, this living skillfully in light of who God is and what God has said, is essential to experiencing life as God intends it. A couple of words I pointed out as we read it. One of those words was blessed. You see that word throughout the passage we just read. He said, blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman who heeds, who listens, who walks in this path of wisdom. The word blessed means, it's the idea throughout the Old Testament of, oh, the bliss, or oh, the place of joy, or oh, the place of happiness. It's not It's not TBN, health, wealth, prosperity, that everything's going to be happy. That's not the point. Regardless of the circumstance you might find yourself in, when we're walking the path of wisdom, there is an internal joy and happiness and stability because you're walking based on God's truth. It's a place of blessedness. This dad, listen, you get this, parents. This dad wants this for his son. I want this for you. I want this for my family. I want this for me. He uses the word blessed. It means place of bliss. It also means the idea of removing barriers or freedom in the sense of ability to move forward. Place of blessing sometimes means that those barriers that encumber us or inhibit us, and you guys can think of some in your life right now, often a place of blessing is you're walking in such a way that those barriers begin to be removed because you're walking in wisdom. He says, life. He says, he who finds me finds life. What does that mean? The word life means flourishing. It means prosperity. It means welfare. It means abundance. Psalm 58 uses this same word life as a word picture and pictures two pools of water. We began the series with this weeks ago, but there's the idea of on this side is this stagnant, you know, crusty, green, slimy pool of water. There's no water coming in. There's no water going out. It's just stagnant. It's dead. But then paints the picture of life being over here, this living place of water, this fountain that you want to go to and you want to drink and you want to jump in, and it's growing around. It's a place of prosperity. And the point is, as we make decisions, foolishness will lead us to this path. Wisdom will lead to that path. And this father's saying to his son, oh, I want that place of life for you. I want that place where the impediments or the barriers in your life are removed. They're out of the way. You're not tripped up by things. You're not encumbered by things. You're able to live. And this dad says you find that through the wisdom of God. Who God is, what God has said. Proverbs 3:13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 4:20, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. I hope that after 9 weeks of studying through the book of Proverbs and being in God's Word, you're now convinced that the wisdom that God offers, practical areas of everyday life, is essential if I'm going to experience the kind of life God has for me now. I don't want the stagnant, green, murky pool of water to characterize areas of my life. Man, I want this place of flourishing and blessing and prosperity and joy and meaning. See that? So we see clearly from this passage, wisdom is essential. Second thing you see from this passage, and we've been talking about this for several weeks, and this is just kind of summary, but we know this, wisdom does not come naturally, right? One of you believe that. Let's try it again. Wisdom does not come naturally, right? What that means is this. All of us on a daily basis face situations, and the temptation is this. I'm either going to walk in wisdom or I'm going to walk in foolishness. And if I trust myself and if I trust what comes naturally, listen, if I trust what might be popular, if I trust what might be culturally accepted, listen, if I trust what might feel good in the moment, if I trust what might make sense in the moment, I'm trusting what comes naturally, and the wisdom of God that leads to life does not come naturally. It comes from God and His Spirit and His Word. Listen, you have a book here as you study through Scripture just full of life illustrations of men and women who trusted their own way and trusted their own thinking, and it didn't end well, right? Let me give you a few. How about a woman named Eve? Right? Now you have to think in the moment that Eve knew. Listen now, Eve knew the wise thing to do. You got everything, Eve, but there's that one fruit. who eats of it is surely going to die. Eve had to begin in her own understanding, in her own thinking, start to think something like this. God can't be serious. God, you can't be serious. You're overstating it, God, or that really doesn't apply to me. Somehow, this is the way the world works, but I don't fit into that. It doesn't apply to me somehow. And she followed her own understanding, her best thinking, and the outcome, listen, was disastrous. Right? How about Abraham? Abraham was a fellow, if you don't know the story, and God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And from this son, the whole world's going to be blessed. You're going to have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of grandkids and great-great-great-grandkids. Problem was, Abraham's wife was barren. That didn't make sense. But God said, from her is going to come the seed. Going to come the child. So Abraham said, I know, I'll lean on my own understanding. I'll lean into what seems best. I'll lean into the best thing I can come up with, and I'm going to go get my servant. Her name is Hagar, and we'll have the child. And listen, we'll help God out. Didn't go well, did it? The world today is still wrestling with the effects of Abraham's decision when he trusted his own way. Right? How about Lot? Y'all know a guy named Lot in the Old Testament? Lot saw the city, right? City of Sodom and Gomorrah. And here's what he thought. Listen, I know Abraham told me down in the valley is not a great place to be. But listen, I'm ready to go start a family. I think we'll have a great life in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's going to turn out great. It didn't go well, did it? Trusted his own understanding. You all know the proverb, ready? Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart. And lean not on your own what? Understand. Listen, that's a daily truth to live by. Am I leaning into my best thinking? Am I leaning in with confidence to how I can figure it out? Or am I seeking the revelation of God in His Word? Am I seeking wise counsel? Am I begging Him for direction? Am I really honest and realize, hey, wisdom does not come naturally? It doesn't come naturally. Day in, day out, you're faced with those situations. I'm faced with those situations. And here, let me just be real gut level honest with all of us. Ready? Some of you, let me say it this way. All of us begin down paths that we know are not wise. All of us. And we begin to take steps, and we know what others have told us, wise people in our life. We know what wise authorities have said in our lives. We may know what God's Word says, but somehow, some way, we begin in a path and we think, it doesn't apply to me. Some of you are living there right now. And one of the reasons we're in community, one of the reasons we gather, and one of the reasons we come in life groups, and one of the reasons we open God's Word is you and I, we need people who love us enough to speak into our lives and say, hey man, you are headed down a path and it's going to end up in that murky pool of stagnant water if you continue down that path. That's what we need. I need that. You need that. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about that this morning. See, wisdom does not come naturally. Then how does our heart pursue wisdom? How do we continue to grow in wisdom? We've talked about this for several weeks, but I want to kind of give you a little diagram to help you in life and to summarize it for you. How do we gain wisdom? It does begin with an attitude of, I don't have it. Meaning, I'm going to show you a little diagram up here. The pursuit of wisdom always begins with humility. To the place where, listen, God lead you into a situation, God puts you in a situation, whatever the case is, through His Word, through others, and you realize, I need wisdom, I need truth, but I don't have it. Humility. And then humility, pressed out in our lives, will lead to teachability. That's Proverbs 9 that says, instruct a wise man and he will become what? Wiser. instruct one with understanding, and he'll continue to grow in understanding. Meaning, there is an attitude of teachability that says, I need wisdom. It doesn't come naturally. Lord, I'm in a situation. Maybe you're teaching me here. God, you've placed this person in my life. What can I learn from them? God, I need your revelation from your word. Give me a teachable attitude, because humility will lead to teachability, and teachability leads to what? Wisdom. Listen, God can instruct, God can teach, you can hear things all day, but without a heart of a teachability, it'll go right past you. Humility leads to teachability, which leads to wisdom, and guess what wisdom does? Leads right back to humility. That's a cycle of life. God, I want to live on that cycle. So that's a pattern, if you will, of pursuing wisdom. Now sometimes, we need to know this morning, this is a very helpful truth for all of us, as much as you may desire, listen, wisdom, God desires you to have wisdom much more than you desire it. God wants you to walk in wisdom. Take your Bible, I'm going to show you something really quick. Flip over to James chapter 1, okay? I'm going to show you a few verses in James, and then we're going to get back to Proverbs 8. James chapter 1 makes a crazy statement if you've never read it before. If you have, you're familiar with this. James, speaking to churches that have been scattered, believers that have been scattered in that day, says this, Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Whoop, time out! James, what are you talking about? James says, hey, when you find yourself in a trial, and that doesn't mean in a courtroom, all right? It may mean in a courtroom for some of you. No, you don't have to raise your hand. What it means is a difficult situation where you feel like it's closing in on every side. A trial is something from outside of you that's pressing in on you. A difficulty, a challenge, a person, whatever it is. And we've all been there. If you're not in one of those situations, guess what? You're headed for it. It's part of life. And James makes a crazy statement. He says, consider it all joy. What? Why in the world would I consider it a place of joy to be in a place of difficulty? Listen, I look around this room. I know some of your story. I know some of your situation. I know you're in a place of difficulty, challenge, trial right now. And if you had your preferences, you would say, God, get me out of this situation. Wisdom realizes God has you in that situation. James says, consider it all joy. Why, James? He goes on, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, produces maturity, produces fruitfulness. And then he makes a crazy statement in verse 5. It's not disconnected, it's connected. He says, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of what seems out of control, if any of you lacks wisdom, what? Ask me. Here's the, ready? God is more committed to the relationship than you are. And God will do whatever is necessary to put you in situations, allow difficulties in your life, to bring you to a place of dependence where you will realize, I need God, I need wisdom, I need counsel, to bring you to the place where James 1:5 is true in your life. God, I need wisdom. The picture of James 1:5 is not, you know what, I think I might need some wisdom today. I think I'll go ask God. Nope, James 1:5 is this. I'm in a situation I don't know how to get out of. I'm in a place I don't know what to do. I need wisdom and I don't have it. God, give me wisdom. And what's the rest of the verse say? And God will give you just a little wisdom. Right? No. It says, let him ask God who gives to all generously and without reproach. In other words, there's no shame. He gives to all generously. Aren't you glad God gives generously? God doesn't give sparingly. So, that is a game changer to the way you see situations in your life. God, do you mean you love me enough to put me in this place of desperation, this place of pain, this place of uncertainty, this place of fear maybe, this place of doubt, so that I will get to the end of myself? You better believe it, because he loves you that much. And he does not want you to lean on your own understanding that only takes you to the pool of stagnant water. He wants to fill your life with divine wisdom, and as you follow it, leads you to the place of blessing and life. See that? Some of you are living there right now. So wisdom is essential, right? Wisdom does not come naturally. Let me give you the last two quickly. Number three. Wisdom. Wisdom can be ignored. Wisdom can be ignored. In other words, we can know what God says, and either out of rebellion or either out of neglect, we can ignore it. But wisdom can be ignored, but not without consequences. It's impossible. See, it's what it says here in verse 36. Proverbs 8:36 says, those who miss me or those who neglect me injure themselves. By their own decisions, by their own choices, they bring injury into their own life. They create these obstacles in their life. One place the Proverbs defines it as a hedge of thorns, like a path of thorns. Why? Because of we're neglecting wisdom. Why is that? Well, some people hear that and they say, well, there you go again. I mean, it's this God in heaven who's got this lightning bolt ready, and if I don't follow this path, man, it's wham, zaps me. That's not the picture of God in the Bible. Here's the picture of God. He has wired creation. He has wired wisdom into the very fabric of creation. God has designed the way things are to operate, and God has given us a book, the Word of God. He's given us the Spirit inside of us to know how to live in this world in a place of blessing. It's called wisdom. And if we choose to operate outside of that, we can expect consequences. For example, there's a proverb that says, can a man or a woman take fire into his lap and not be burned? What does that mean? Why is that there? It's a word picture. In other words, the world is wired this way. Fire burns you, right? And I could take that fire and I could say, you know what? I know the principle of fire and burning and all that. I get it. But guess what? I don't think it applies to me. Or I think I can get by with it for a little while. So I'm going to bring that fire into my lap, and guess what? I'm not going to be burned. That is a picture of what? Foolishness. Because no matter what you do, no matter what your perspective is, fire burns. Right? It's the way the world works. You and I operate in a very similar way sometimes in our relationships. God's given you a ton of wisdom about how relationships are designed to operate. We choose to operate outside of those, then our relationships are going to have pain. God has given us how marriage is to operate. God has given us how economics operate. Listen, God has given us how our bodies operate. He designed them. God designed time. So when we choose to operate in our own way, then we can expect there's going to be natural consequences to our choices. Fire always burns. It's the nature of fire. Disobedience, sin, choices outside of God's word, either by neglect or by open rebellion, are always going to burn you. Sin burns. No matter what you do. Now, Paul takes this principle over in the New Testament very quickly, and he says it a different way. Paul in Galatians chapter 5 or chapter 6 says this. He says, do not be deceived. Listen, don't be duped. Don't be tricked by yourself. Don't be tricked by somebody else. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. What does that mean? We mock God when we say, I know what your word says, God, but hey, it just doesn't apply to me. Doesn't work that way. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. That's an agricultural, right? That's agricultural metaphor. I don't know that that's true in my life because I've sown a lot and I don't get anything in my garden. Here's the reality, though. If If I take corn seed and I go out and throw it in my garden, right, and I sit there and I cover it up and I go, okay, I can't wait for these carrots to come up. That's utterly foolish. So Paul says, a man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, their own understanding, what comes natural, from the flesh they're going to reap destruction. The word destruction means corruption or decay. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit of God will reap eternal life. That's not just a place. That's a quality of life now. The life in the Spirit. So here's some realities. Ready? Number one, we always reap what we sow. Always. You can't avoid it. That's positive and negative. If I'm sowing generosity, I'm going to reap generosity. If I'm sowing kindness, I'm going to reap kindness. If I'm sowing bitterness, if I'm sowing discontentment, if I'm sowing gossip, if I'm sowing... That's what I'm going to reap. Secondly, not only do we always reap what we sow, we always reap later than we sow. Meaning, I can plant that corn seed, whoop, I can put it in the ground and cover it up and go, all right, corn, let's go. Where are you? Man, you've been in there 10 seconds, let's go. Doesn't work that way. Corn is not going to come up for a while. That's the way in our lives. So we're following a certain path and we're thinking, guess what? I'm getting away with this. Guess what? This doesn't apply to me. You always reap later than you sow. Always. Or in well-doing, we're thinking, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm living faithfully. I'm doing what you call me to do. Lord, I'm not. You always reap later. Later. And then finally, you always reap more than you sow. You put a little corn kernel on the ground, right? Boop. And then this huge stalk of corn, boom, comes up. It's the law of the harvest. Same way of saying what Solomon teaches over here is you can ignore wisdom, but not without consequences. No way. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man always reaps what he sows. So wisdom, it's essential. The kind of life God has for us as his followers. Wisdom can be ignored, but not without consequences. And wisdom does not come naturally. Let me close with the last one. We'll be finished, all right? Ultimately, you can sum it all up with this, is truth number four is wisdom is the fruit of an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I don't want us to get through a series and we know all the moral teachings of what to do and not to do and we think that's our pursuit. Listen, when we talk about wisdom, we're not pursuing an it, we're pursuing a who. And the only way wisdom is going to ever press out of your life is not, man, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to do better, I'm going to live right. You can't. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you as you focus on Christ in His Word by the Spirit. And listen, the way you walk in wisdom, your capacity to walk in wisdom is directly proportional to the place you give God's Word in your life. Can't get away from that. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says this, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. You're not pursuing an it, you're pursuing a who, abiding in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, I can't live out Proverbs. I can read Proverbs all day about the tongue and about work and about marriage and about all that. I can't live it out of my own strength. That's not the point of the Bible. The point of the Bible is to hold out to you the kind of life, the ideal that's only fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then we pursue Christ and Christ lives His life through us. He gives us grace to live out what we could not normally live out on our own. He changes us from the inside out. Christianity is not a rule book that we pick up all these neat ways to live and go, okay, I'm going to try that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this hard, I'm going to do that. That's moralism, and moralism leads to death. Jesus Christ alone leads to life. See that? Now, to kind of end this series, I want to drive this point home the way Proverbs ends the series. So I want you to take your Bible in Proverbs and turn to chapter 30. That's not the last chapter. 31 is the last chapter, but I want to read you a few verses in chapter 30. Carry it over to John very quickly, and we're done, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Proverbs chapter 30 ends with a question. Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 is going to answer the question. Proverbs here, the writer is asking these. He's been pursuing wisdom, he's been seeking wisdom, and he realizes with all my seeking, with all my pursuing, I'm still coming up short. I still do not sense that I have the fullness of wisdom. He says this, verse 2. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I the knowledge of the Holy One. Then he goes from an it to a who. This is huge. He says, who? Is there someone somewhere in the universe that has the fullness of wisdom? That has the fullness of the nature of God? That is all these things I've been teaching, all these things I've been pursuing. Does somebody embody that perfectly? He says, is there anyone who has ascended to heaven and come back down again? Is there anyone who has ever come from heaven? He says, who has gathered the wind in his fist, who has wrapped up the waters in a garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. And he says, what is his name? Does a person exist that perfectly embodies wisdom? Does a person exist who's descended from heaven? Where is this person? And he ends by saying, who is he? What is his name? What is his son's name? Surely you know. It ends with a question. John chapter 3, flip over there. We'll find the answer. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a religious leader. Nicodemus knew Proverbs 30. Nicodemus knew most of the Old Testament. He too had been pursuing this place of wisdom. He too had been pursuing this person who is the embodiment of wisdom. And Jesus looks Nicodemus in the eye, John chapter 3, verse 12, and says this, Nicodemus, I've told you earthly things and you don't believe. How can you believe if I teach you heavenly things? And Jesus quotes Proverbs 30 and says, no one has ascended into heaven and no one has descended from heaven. Except one. Nicodemus, you've been spending your whole life looking for this person. Guess what? He's standing right in front of you. He says, no one has ascended to heaven. No one has descended to heaven except who? The Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, an Old Testament illusion, so must the Son of Man be lifted up that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then that's the whole background of the most famous verse in the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave who? Jesus. In other words, Proverbs ends with a dilemma. Wisdom itself is not the final pursuit. Jesus is the pursuit. Wisdom is embodied in not an it, a who. So end the book of Proverbs with an ongoing pursuit, not of an it, of a who. It is an abiding relationship with the Son of God who came from heaven, who lived a perfect life, who can live in you by His Spirit and give you the strength to live the kind of life Proverbs lays out. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So this morning, we're going to end our time with kind of something that the Bible gives us to focus our attention on Jesus. In just a moment, I'll ask the team to come on up and begin to play. We're going to celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper together. And in just a few minutes, we'll invite you to come and take a little piece of bread and a cup of juice, and you can take that back to your seat. And the Bible teaches us that God has given us this as a tangible, visible reminder of Christ. His body that was broken for you and for me. His blood that was poured out for you and for me so that I could have life, so that I could know wisdom, that I could be made right again. So in just a second, I'm going to invite you down and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But before that, for just a moment, I want to ask you to bow your head right there where you're seated for just a second. This is between you and the Lord. Before you step out and take the Lord's Supper, I want to give you a second to spend with Jesus right there in your seat. See, the Bible makes it very clear, before you take the Lord's Supper, it's a time of self-examination, if you will, a time to say, God, show me anything in my heart right now that's not right. Are you on one of those paths that we talked about earlier that's simply a path of foolishness? Is there something in your life right now that you're neglecting wisdom? You're neglecting what God has said? Is there anything between you and God that you've refused to make right? Hey, is there anything between you and a brother or sister in Christ? Not that you've tried to make right and you can't, but you've just refused to even attempt to make it right with a brother or sister. Before you take the Lord's Supper, there needs to be, Lord, I want to get my heart right and then go take the Lord's Supper. So I don't know what God's doing in your heart. I don't know what different things are on your mind. But I want to give you, before I invite you down and before our team plays, just take a second there and spend before the Lord. Prepare your heart. fix your eyes on Him. In just a second, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together, okay? Okay.